I'm Mark Woods here with another Page One podcast, and today I'm here with Charlie Patton. We're going to talk about a story Charlie did about October 1st being the 50th anniversary of consolidation. But first, I want to... Charlie recently retired after 42 years, starting with the Jacksonville Journal, the afternoon paper, and then the Times Union. And so I wanted to say thanks for all those years and all this. I wonder how many stories you wrote. Any idea?
No idea. No, I hadn't really sat down to think about it, but a lot.
Yeah. I was going to read off. Charlie was a Metro General Assignment Reporter, Education Reporter, Lifestyle General Assignment Reporter, movie critic, editor of the Sunday Books page, covered television, radio, theater, the arts, wrote a pop culture column for 15 years, 2 years wrote a Metro column, and for the last 15 years wrote a weekly feature called One of Us, which is a profile of kind of basically one of our neighbors, and also during that time always wrote kind of these great takeouts like this consolidation story. Did you have a favorite role out of all those different roles?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it. A favorite role, yeah, I like to be in the pop culture column. I liked writing that. That was fun. But I realized this morning that one of the things that I hadn't put down in any of my reminiscences was that, I don't even know what year it was, but early 2000s, I was asked to come out to the beach to Players by the Sea Theater, mm-hmm. where a movie was being premiered. It was a movie that was going to be a movie within a movie. Hmm. And so I came out and interviewed the people that were going to be in this movie. And later when I saw the finished film, the movie that had the movie within a movie, I was a character in the movie. So I'm in listed in the credits of Mule Skinner Blues.
Really?
Yes, a little, which is about a group of people out in Mayport that are sort of they want to make a horror movie, and they make a horror movie, and so you see the horror movie, but you also see the story of how they came to make the horror movie.
And you didn't realize at the time that you were going to be in it.
I did not. No, I had no idea.
That's right. And yeah, I remember when you've told stories about covering TV and movies and stuff. You'd go to LA for the big annual events on those?
I did for several years, yeah, to the Television Critics Association meetings. I actually saw Ken Burns out there back in the late 90s.
Okay, yeah. Which is another story Charlie has coming soon about Ken Burns, and has a documentary coming out soon, September 25th, I think, about Mayo Clinic.
Correct.
That'll run right before...
It'll run this coming Sunday the... 23rd.
So see, even though Charlie's retired, still his name will be appearing in the paper, doing some freelance story for us, which is great. Let's go back to consolidation. So that happened, I mean, you got here not long after consolidation.
Actually, on the 10th anniversary of the consolidation, they printed a special section about consolidation. I wrote the lead story for that section.
I was going to bring up that you wrote the 10 years ago, the 40th anniversary story, and say, so obviously you've done a lot of reporting.
Did I do the 40th anniversary story?
I think that's what I think you did.
Okay.
I think somebody said that, or maybe not. And I know we've done, it seems like I'm sure we've done one every decade. And
I'm sure we have.
You've probably done each of them without even remembering it.
Right.
So how did you approach writing this one?
Basically, I wanted to tell the story of the process, how consolidation became an idea. And one of the things that I discovered during the course of researching this was, which surprised me, was how close a near thing it was. The final vote on consolidation was very pro-consolidation, mm-hmm. but the process of getting it approved to go on the ballot by the state legislature was very iffy for a long time, and mm-hmm. they had to make a lot of compromises to finally get the Duval delegation to agree to allow it to go on the ballot.
Hmm.
And that was an interesting part for me. There's a guy named Richard Martin.
Hmm.
Wrote a very good book about the process of consolidation. He covered it for the Florida Times Union and the Jacksonville Journal during the process of it.
Hmm.
And he wrote a book that was published in 1968 called, I believe, Consolidation. And then he came back with a revised version in the early 1990s.
Hmm.
And I got a copy of that, and that helped a lot.
Okay.
With the research. So it was just an effort to tell the story of how and why consolidation happened.
Right. Yeah, I learned a lot from reading it. I knew it wasn't simple. I liked how you led to it. The lead to your story was, a lot went wrong in the city of Jacksonville and surrounding Duval County in the quarter century that preceded consolidation.
Right.
To explain how that plays out in the vote in 1967, you almost have to explain all that preceded it.
Right.
What went wrong?
Well, first of all, the post-war, the population began to thin out in Jacksonville and build up in the county. The county, which had been largely rural in the 1930s, was becoming a suburbanized.
Right.
And a lot of those people were living in the suburbs but working in the city. And this created a real tax burden for the city because they had to provide services, you know, to these people while they were in the city during the day. And then they would go home and they didn't pay any city taxes because city taxes were basically property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the property was really, really drastically underassessed in both Duval County and in the city of Jacksonville. I think two-thirds of the property owners in the county and the city did not pay any taxes at all because of the assessment was less than the $5,000 homestead exemption. So that was a big problem, and that led to huge issues with the schools, which eventually got completely disaccredited by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools in late 1964. Big embarrassment for the city, big black eye. In addition to that, the actual structure of the city government was this incredibly convoluted thing that seemed designed almost to prevent anything from getting done.
Mm.
You had five county commissioners who were sort of the administrators. The mayor was one of those five county commissioners. He was in charge of the police and the fire and the airport. But you didn't have anybody who was really in charge of planning things for the city as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a 9-member city council that would pass legislation that the city commissioners would ignore. So it was a complicated system. And then on top of that, it was a really wasteful system, and a system that was lent itself to corruption, which after the effort to create the movement for consolidation started, they got boosted by the fact that the grand jury began looking at the city government and ended up indicting, I think, eight officials,
right?
Which was a real boon for the pro consolidation people. Although once they got their bill written and sent off to the legislature, as I said, there was a lot of compromise that took place before it actually went before the voters.
Yeah, I found the structure of the government, that part of your story, really interesting, because I was aware of, it was a time of corruption and the indictments and all that, but I don't think I was aware how, even if you removed that, what a mess it was.
Right,
and,
right.
And it just seems, deeply flawed, and I know people, you know, say consolidation hasn't worked out as hoped. There's detractors, but it's sure tough to imagine going back to that.
To the system that model. Existed at that point, yes.
Yeah. It was also interesting that, you know, I'm aware of 68 and the vote in 67, but you read how this was hardly a new idea for Jacksonville.
That's right. I mean, there had been attempts in I think in 1921, and then again in 1935. It actually came to a vote in 1935, but the legislature had screwed around with the proposal and made it so unattractive to voters that they voted it down in 1935. But there was definitely sentiment to consolidate, if not the government, both governments entirely, consolidate services between the city and the county.
Okay.
Right.
So 40 years pass before it finally, more than 40 years, comes to fruition.
Right.
And then you write about the Yates Manifesto was a key piece of it. Explain what that is.
Well, the Yates Manifesto in January of 1965, I believe it was, Claude Yates, who had been the vice president of Southern Bell in Florida, had retired from that position and become president of the Chamber of Commerce, Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce, and he called for a bunch of city leaders to come to a luncheon, and basically presented them with the idea, we need to create a consolidated government for Jacksonville and Duval County, and they all signed off on that, and that was the beginning of the creation of the Better Government committee that led by Jack Daniel, who was a high-powered attorney and mortgage broker, and later became the publisher of the Times Union Journal. They put together a plan to what they wanted the new government to look like. Lex Hester was hired as the executive director, and he would go on to serve as chief of staff under Hans Tansler for many years, and then later was the chief of staff for Ed Austin and John Delaney before his untimely death in the late 90s.
So you had obviously that group supportive. I also find it interesting going back and looking at the African American community, which had the detractors were prominent ones were Mary Singleton and kind of the two black newspapers, but obviously some definite proponents that would you write Sally Mathis and Earl Johnson. Obviously Earl Johnson is a huge piece to this story.
Right. He was one of the officers of the local government study commission and a strong supporter of consolidation. Became after the consolidated government was put together, it had, as finally approved, it had 14 district council members and 5 at-large council members. He was elected as one of the 5 at-large council members and later became the first, and I believe maybe, perhaps, I don't know this for a fact, only president of the city council. I might be wrong about him being the only one, but he was certainly the first.
Right.
Right.
And do you have a sense of how, if he hadn't been on board, do you think it doesn't, I think it was interesting, 59% of the African-American community voted yes.
Voted yes.
It seems like without his support, that doesn't happen probably, right?
I'm not sure. I mean, that's hard to say. But yeah, certainly the opinion was held by a lot of people that if consolidation didn't happen and the city of Jacksonville itself became majority black, which was moving in that direction, that he would be the first black mayor of Jacksonville.
Right.
At the time his sentiment was, he said, I don't want to be the mayor of a bankrupt city. He later, when we did the 10th anniversary story, he told someone that he had changed his mind about that, that he'd seen successful black mayors in Atlanta and Richmond, Virginia, and he felt that it would have worked out if he had chosen, if they hadn't consolidated, it would have been okay. But he remained an ardent champion of consolidation
right
at the time.
And his son is one of the ones who's involved in the kind of the
correct
50th looking back
right. Right.
Commemorations that right. are coming up.
Right. Yeah. And of course, Earl Johnson, besides being playing a big role in consolidation, was a civil rights attorney who sued lots of times against the Jacksonville city government, and also represented Martin Luther King in 1964 when King was involved in the mess down in St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm. So when you did anything, you knew a lot of this story, obviously, because you'd written it before. Did anything surprise you when you were working on this?
Well, as I said again, what surprised me was, because when I wrote about it the first time, I'd never looked at what actually happened in the legislature.
Right.
And in the legislature, it had to pass both through the House of the Duval delegation, House members of the House of Representatives, and through the members of the Senate. Mm. The five members of the Duval County delegation who are senators all favored consolidation. But of the 11 members who were members of the House of Representatives, six initially opposed it. And their unwillingness to let it go forward might have prevented consolidation from going on the ballot. And in those days, the legislature only met once every 2 years in the spring. So if consolidation didn't get approved that spring of 1967, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's spring of 1967. Then it would have been postponed until at least 1969 before it could be considered again.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, there was a series of compromises. As initially envisioned by the Local Government Study Commission, there would have been 21 at-large city council members. There would have been a mayor who would basically appointed all positions within the city, including the sheriff and the supervisors of elections, the tax assessor, the tax collector, the civil service board. All those positions were switched back to elective offices during the series of compromises. The structure of the city council was changed from 21 district councilmen to 14 district council members and 5 at-large members. And there were some other compromises. As initially planned, city employees were not going to be allowed to participate in politics. Obviously, that's been changed, they dropped that position. And so today we have the firefighters and the police playing major roles in our election campaigns.
Right. So when you look at, the city's, you've lived here almost all those 50 years. How has it changed in ways that you'd hoped, and how has it not changed? I'm sure it's a vastly different city than when you moved here.
Oh, it is. In terms of just the growth of the city, Mandarin was horse farms when I moved here. Everything, the Butler Boulevard only went to as far as the University of North Florida, and everything beyond that was wilderness. Where Mayo Clinic is now is wilderness. Mm-hmm. Everything that, all the development on that south side was wilderness. A lot of the west side hadn't been developed much. It was all rural horse farms and dairy farms, and a lot of the north side as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of change in terms of development. It's hard to say how much it's changed in terms of politics. The period of consolidation, even when the first consolidated government was put together, there was somebody indicted and a city councilman indicted, and somebody said it's different pigs, same sloth, or
right.
Right.
And we have no corruption whatsoever now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But again, I wasn't around when the old government was in charge, but just when you read about how the system was designed, it's just mind-boggling that they had a system that seemed designed to prevent anything from getting done.
Right. Something had to change because as all that growth, certainly there's ways to say consolidation has flaws, ways to say it hasn't lived up to these promises. But yeah, it's hard to fathom that if we were operating under that system.
Right.
Well, thanks so much. And more than that, thanks for the 42 years. And we're definitely going to miss having you in the newsroom.
Yeah.
Charlie definitely able to do kind of everything well. As proven by that list of things you've done through those years. So
yeah.
A huge loss in, just writing ability, but then also institutional knowledge. So definitely will miss having you in the newsroom.
Well, I'll still be available by phone.
Yeah, true. All right. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you, Mark.